Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
A bad motherfucker, ride it through the night.
Hey.
Welcome to this night's edition of the Phil and Bill Show. And I'd like to say thank you to everybody that's tuned in. A little issue going on, but I think we're good now. And some people tried to call in, the line was busy. There was a glitch on the other end. Fixed now. And just like to say thank you to everybody for tuning in. I'll play this again because it didn't go out.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit.
Hello there. Can you hear me now?
Oh my god. I thought it was going to be one of those nights. I'm like, oh no, not tonight.
it started a little funny because they had some glitch on their end and they wanted me to use a different number tonight, but we're okay right now.
Yeah, because as soon as you would cue me, you know, when you hear the beep, you get ready to talk, I'd hear beep, and then my phone would go click. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? So, that's that.
Not much. I talked to Bill. He's going to be here next week. I'm not sure which day, maybe both days.
Nice.
But, yeah. He said we're going to do a couple of things, and I do some other things.
Nice.
And it worked out pretty good. I'm looking at a picture of my mom and dad that my sister posted today.
Oh, that's cool.
Man, that's an old picture. If you go back and I'll send it to you. You can go look at my page there right now.
Okay.
My dad was a big dude, but he was real skinny, and then he filled out over time.
Right.
Yeah. But he had that dark, wavy hair you could comb backwards. That's how I used to have mine. So I let it grow, but now it's back. It's down in the middle of my back. But it's my mom and dad's wedding picture.
Oh, that's nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got a few pictures like that myself, but not on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, what's the weather like up there in sunny California? Do you have a mild 80-degree breeze blowing off the bay with twinkly stars in the air and all that other good stuff? Why us people stuck here in the northeastern quadrant of New England, you know, with like 10-degree temperatures and ice and snow and everything else?
No, it was actually 73 and sunny today. Tomorrow it's supposed to be, it's actually 60 degrees this morning when I left.
Nice.
Yeah.
California dreaming all the way, man. Oh, my goodness. But over here it's just too damn cold. Gets in your bones and it doesn't get out.
Well, let's see who this is. Hold on, we got somebody in there right now. Let me see who this is. 562, did you want to talk or just listen for right now?
Well, I'd like to listen, but I can't get it to on my iPhone. I got I got the website, but I can't get the audio.
On cellular devices, it's hard to get. Sometimes when you tap into the internet, it's hard to listen. But from a computer, it comes through fine. It's just the cellular devices sometimes are really quirky. But
wow.
I mean, I enjoy listening to the show from my phone. For me, it's better reception. I mean, other people, they enjoy other things. But, that's with a lot of folks. It just seems to be like some type of glitch with cellular devices that you can't always listen streaming.
I'm on Wi-Fi.
Yeah. It's, you know, me too. But, I mean, like I said, I can listen all day long by my phone. But when I go into the internet through my phone and try to, like, stream it, it's usually either weighed down or it's rebuffering or, you know, 50 million other things, and it's just harder to get it through web by phone than it is your internet. But if you're listening to us with your Wi-Fi tapped to your phone, you're also able to put the sound on mute, listen to us, and still tap into your internet, your Facebook, your whatever you do, Twitter, and listen along and still be able to do other things as long as you have that Wi-Fi connection.
Well, I'm just trying to get audio on my phone, and I can't.
Well, that stinks. I'm sorry for you tonight.
You don't sound like Phil or Bill.
No, I am Stacy. I am your Northeast.
Stacey.
Hi, how are you? I'm your Northeast reporter.
Okay.
I talked to Bill today. He's he had to take his mom to the doctor today, so he won't be here tonight, but I talked to
him. That sounds like Phil there.
That is Phil.
Is it?
Okay.
It is Phil.
And what's your name, sir? Can we get your name?
Art.
Art! is this silent? Art? The Art?
No, this is my friend Art Hall from Quick Throttle Magazine.
Oh!
Yeah, Bill's, as you know, Art, you've probably seen the last time you were at the shop, Bill's mom was there. She's, so he had to take her. He does this thing with his mom on Tuesday. Yeah, for now. But he plans on being here next week. He's got she's got all her appointments this week, and he'll be here next week. But
everybody's
waiting. I've got Goldie DeWitt from the One Down MC and Sons of Anarchy fame. He's in the queue right now. I'm going to bring him on here in a minute. So, if you're listening and you can hear us now, when I mute you, you'll still be able to hear us.
I can hear it. I'm on the phone, but I can't hear it. I'm on a hardwire phone, landline.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you're in my queue, so I'm just going to mute you, but you can still hear us.
Oh, over this phone.
Right, and then if you got any
questions,
I'll come back in a couple of minutes.
Got it.
Okay, Al.
Okay.
All right. Hello, Goldie, is that you?
What's happening, Phil? How you doing, man?
Not much. How are you?
Doing real good, man.
Good. It was good to see you the other day. We're far in between on visits, so I've been trying to get up that way, but my work schedule, I'm working 7 days a week, sometimes 10, 12 hours a day. But I'm keeping the Navy afloat, which is the job that I chose after I got out of the Marine Corps, so it's kind of like I'm still in the service.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But basically, I gave you a little build-up on the One Down MC and the Sons of Anarchy fame. And Stacy, my cohort from the Northeast, she's been filling in for Bill every once in a while, and she was excited to ask you some questions tonight. So go ahead, Stacy.
Hi, how
are
you?
Stacy.
I'm Stacy, and I'm in Rhode Island, clear across the other side of the country. There's one question that I always seem to fall back on whenever, like, somebody from Sons comes on the show or has any type of motorcycle background. The first question I always proceed with is, what got you going with motorcycles? You know, what was the first thing that tweaked your interest into, like, you want to ride a bike, and where did it take you from there?
For me, growing up, I grew up in Southern California, and when I was, I remember just being a little kid. My mom, she dated a dude who was from a old school club out of Los Angeles. I think he was from Brothers of the Sun, and I just remember going to a few functions and just being around the lifestyle, watching grown-ups and watching the bikers, and, you know, and it was just something that probably just intrigues all kids, any type of, you know, rough-looking organization kind of grabs a kid's attention.
Right.
And, you know, growing up, just always still had that attraction to motorcycles. And I think that in 1991, that's when I got my first bike. It was a GSXR Suzuki 750. And after that, I told myself if I got another bike, it would be a Harley. And that's what ended up happening. I got a Harley some years later. And from there, just, you know, continue to, you know, ride and become the passion started to build, you know. And then from there, once I got involved in more like an advocate for, you know, the biker lifestyle.
Now, how did you get involved with the Hollywood portion of it? Were you just, you know, somebody going about your business and somebody approached you and said, hey, you know, you got space for TV? Or did you actually, like, have an agent and try out for certain parts, you know, et cetera? How did you get rolling with that?
Well, Kurt Sutter actually stole my idea.
Not for real.
No, this is something that just, like, literally just got thrown in my lap. And I'm blessed that I was able to do something with the opportunity. I got a phone call that they were looking for some urban bikes, you know, and that's kind of what they were kind of, you know, titling it. They wanted some black bikes, I guess, in the background. And then from there, it went into, and so they contacted some guys, and these guys just really didn't fall through. They didn't come through for the show. And
okay.
So the show, they told, some other guys told me about it. So I was like, I don't want to fuck with it, you know. And so I just, like, literally left it alone. And then they ended up just, like, directly contacting me. And so I said, okay, well, you know, I'll provide you guys some bikes. And then from there, they took an interest in my club.
Okay.
And then, you know, because our club is a one-down MC, our colors are orange and black. And then they
right.
wanted to just basically just, I guess, use the likeness. And ended up using the likeness of my club for the Grim Bastards.
Right.
And so from there, you know, I just capitalized on the opportunity and our whatever they wanted from me, you know, I just gave them a little bit more.
Right.
So, yeah, we came in on season 2, and we were there till season 7.
Right. Now, have you received any other, you know, type of, you're saying that you are blessed. Has any other opportunities come along because of SOA? You know, like, is your schedule full now for, like, interviews for other shows? Or are you strictly, you know, that was a one-time deal and you're going to concentrate, you know, on yourself, club, whatever? I mean, what are your ambitions from, like, this point forward now that, you know, SOA has pretty much come to a close?
Well, in the beginning, you know, like, when I came in on season 2, so season 2, season 3, so I come to Sons of Anarchy, and then, of course, from there, you just start meeting a lot of people in the movie industry. So the talent scout at the time for Sons of Anarchy, he was doing other shows. So, you know, he, you know, asked me, did I have an interest in a couple of other shows that was out there. It was more like typecast. Okay, you got tattoos, you can do a prison scene, you're balling in it. So, you know, I did some stuff for NCIS LA.
Okay.
I was on the Craigslist Killer on Lifetime.
Nice.
And I did a motorcycle episode for Chef Ramsey.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cooking show.
Yeah.
And so immediately I got a mouthful of how this stuff works, and it was something that I really just wasn't into.
Okay.
Because if you're just not the main character on these shows, which I don't intend to be, I mean, acting is not something I was pursuing. It's just fell in my lap. But I did notice the difference on getting treated really good on Sons and getting treated just like some background piece of shit on these other shows.
Okay.
So I wasn't really into it no more. So I just said, I started turning down a bunch of stuff because, like I said, I wasn't pursuing acting the Sons. I had a direct liking to it because of the motorcycle culture, the motorcycle industry, the lifestyle. It was something I can relate to. It's something that I do every day. And I just felt really more of an attachment to that, you know. And I just really didn't feel like I was, you know, just
outcasted.
You know, just being myself, you know.
Right. Now, because of all this, what have you been able to... You know, most people, they get blessed with something, and, you know, when you receive, you give back. What has been something that you've done maybe to give back, I don't know, do a charity run, be at an event, anything like that, because SOA came into play? You know, have you done anything, you know, that because this show... put you in the spotlight for a little while or whatever, maybe you ran into different organizations and you turned around and said, you know what, I want to be part of this. Have you been able to do anything like that?
Oh, yeah, like, you know, as, you know, for me being on SOA, I never had a talking role. I was just a dude in the background.
Right.
But because of the exposure, this worldwide Sons of Anarchy, you know, was able to generate these people who watch the show. I mean, they dissect the show. They look at people in the front, in the back, on the side.
They do.
So the exposure that I got from that show, it was incredible. And it trips me out because I never had a speaking role, you know. So, you know, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't offered, you know, oh, come to our convention and do signings or nothing like that, you know. But as far as me being able to get back, it's something that my motorcycle club, we naturally do, you know. We participate in fundraisers, we participate in blanket drives and coat drives and stuff like that. Just in December, we, you know, was at Sweetwater Harley-Davidson in San Diego, and, you know, we gave a ton of stuff, you know, that we contributed to that fundraiser. So, you know, giving back, you know, to the community is something that my motorcycle club, you know, enjoys doing and taking part in and participating in.
Now here's a question that a lot of people seem to, they get really caught up in the, you know, the dramatics of SOA, and we all know it's a nighttime soap opera that stretches the truth beyond the realms of reality. But do you have people that may possibly approach you and think that, you know, what happened on SOA is exactly what your club is like? You know, do you have to stop and tell people, no, you know, SOA was a nighttime soap opera that, you know, everybody got into, and, you know, this is the real world stuff, and this is we do. Do you ever have people that, like, confuse the two? Because we seem to get a lot of that when we interview the guys, and, like, people will come on the air, and sometimes they have a hard time separating that's an acting role and this is a real world role.
Well, you know, I can see where the fans are coming from with not being able to truly understand or separate, you know, entertainment from is that real? Because
right.
there really has never, ever been a motorcycle show targeted to the motorcycle club lifestyle and allow people to follow that show as if it was a soap opera or a documentary.
Right.
So a lot of the stuff on the show, I'm glad that Kurt Sutter did some hell of an exaggerations, because if he tried to stay too on point with stuff, then it would look like a documentary.
Right.
So, you know, there's no motorcycle clubs that walk into a damn police station and kick up shit and call shots and then leave. There's no motorcycle club that's out there fucking police officers on top of their cars and driving police cars around in their cut, you know. So, you know, it is and was purely entertainment. But the fan base of that show is something that, I mean, I'm 42 years old. I watch plenty of television shows and stuff. I've never seen an audience get attached to a television show with such a, you know, aggressive fan base that's supporting anything that can show support to that show. You know, these are fans. They're like Raider fans. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
And these fans, all they wanted to do was wear these T-shirts and vests as a fan of the Raiders or the Lakers. They're wearing jerseys. You know, so it's not like I'm going to go up to somebody who has on a Raiders jersey and say, hey, motherfucker, you don't play for the Raiders. Take that off.
Right.
You know? But the difference is this show touched on some things that are sacred. You know, a three-piece patch, it's sacred. It's not entertainment. It's not
correct.
Something for people to just run out and duplicate, but those people just didn't know that, you know?
Right.
And when they were told, some of them got told, you know, in ways that they just got their feelings hurt or it was real disrespectful, but they just didn't know that this is a show that touched on a cultural lifestyle that is sacred, you know? And I guess it's kind of like if somebody was to make a series that touched on devil worshiping,
right?
Know? And if you go out there and you watch this television show and you're like, fuck, 666 is cool because of the TV show. So if you get out there wearing that, people are going to think you're a real devil worshiper, you know,
right.
But you're supporting this television show. So, yes, I've been, you know, I've been hit up, you know, for, you know, 6 years of people, you know, asking me all type of shit, you know. My email, my inbox, Facebook, I mean, I got stuff in there right now that I just laugh at. People asking me, you know, like women, just married women who watch the show, hello, what are your motorcycle bylaws?
you know, I get the same thing all the time, Goldie. And basically what I tell them is if you want to look about anything about the bylaws or how it starts out is hang around, prospect, member, you know, so on and so forth. I have all that stuff on my daily blog. It's Bikers of America at blogs.com. You can get in there and you can read on it. And I had to turn off the comments because of some of the shit people were coming up with.
Yeah. You know, I enjoyed the opportunity to be involved with a very, very, very strong historic show that's going down in history.
Absolutely. There ain't nobody that's gonna, you know, forget this type of show because A, you said it was the first of its kind, and B, you know, I'm a biker, Phil's a biker, you're a biker. Bikers over the years have just gotten bad raps for everything. It doesn't matter if you were right, the media will put you are wrong. And, you know, it kind of gave a twist and a little turn to the biker lifestyle. And the one thing I noticed is, you know, I hate calling people wannabes or, you know, they don't know much the fact of, but I know this much. Since SOA has come out, there's been an increase in motorcycle riders. You know, it's like everybody wants to experience that type of freedom effect is, you know, basically what it is. And it just amazes me because, I mean, I'm 45, and like you, I've been around bikes pretty much my whole life. But ever since SOA, this surge of everybody wants to ride, it's, you know, to me, I just find it totally mind-boggling, you know. It's like from one TV show, all this, you know, there's a lot of positive energy that's come out of it. There's some negative stuff, too. But, you know, I mean, overall, nobody is ever going to forget that show, whether they only watched one episode or they were just a diehard fan through every single one, you know, because to me it was just like a groundbreaking thing. And really, you know, Kurt Sutter kind of ended it on a fabulous note, because it was just one of those shows you didn't want to see go on for 20 years and use up every storyline possible and make the characters corny, you know. It just, it went out with a bang, it started with a bang, and it's still, you know, you can be in the donut shops, people will bring it up, and they get heated over certain characters and stuff, and, you know, you sit back and you watch this, and you're just like, wow, over one TV show, you know, and I mean, you look at movies like Gone with the Wind that's been around, you know, they're classic, that's been around forever, don't have as many people talking about it as this show, you know, yeah, it's just, it's really an amazing thing, and I mean, it's like pop culture attached itself to it, and with you saying, you know, you were never, like, you know, in the acting guild, or so to say, everything kind of dropped in your lap, I'm sure that at one point had to be overwhelming when that's not something you're used to, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, you're the guy from SOA, or like you were saying, people ask you, you know, kind of crazy questions, some not, some are, but what, you know, did you experience any kind of stress factor where you were just like, I need a break, people need to just leave me alone for a little bit? Did that ever happen to you?
I did immediately gain a ton of respect for, you know, actors. I had no idea that these guys, women, actors, actresses, I had no idea that they worked so many hours in a day. I did not know that they could pull, you know, 14, 16 hours and go, you know, back home, come right back at damn near 5 in the morning and back doing it again until damn near 9, 10 o'clock at night, you know, 11. And it's just how them learning their lines and not knowing how much was really involved, you know, and I did, you know, see myself saying, you know, because I'm more on the inside of this, you know, I'm seeing Charlie, I'm seeing, you know, just all the guys, you know, and they left it as an art, you know, it was an art for them to get into that character, you know, bring that character to life. And in their personal life, as far as I've seen, none of those guys portrayed being a biker when they weren't on set. You know, they dressed normal. They didn't, because of this show, started, you know, trying to act like a biker in their personal life. You know, none of that stuff. You know, when they were on Sons, they were acting as a biker. Off Sons, they weren't trying to dress like a biker.
Okay.
And that's something that I respected about, you know, the guys who were. Go ahead.
The thing that I most respected for them was most of them didn't know how to ride until that show. And then they all learned how to ride.
That's what, you know, the couple of guys that came on the show, that's what they were saying. And, you know, ultimately, in the end, they became fanatics of riding.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
and obtaining motorcycles and being able to get on the road and just cruise. And that's another thing I found kind of cool, like, over the past year with the interviews we've done, you know?
Yeah, and that's one thing that I do, you know, that I did see, you know, for they, on their own time, you know, wanted to, you know, and found it necessary to learn about the MC culture. And they knew what was serious, you know, and what things were, you know, challenging to put on the screen. On the last season 7, probably episode maybe 6 or so, maybe episode 6, you know, and I don't know if this is stuff that I'm not supposed to be talking about, but it's over now. But those guys, they don't know what's coming up until they get the script that upcoming week, you know. And when they got the new script that said basically it was verified that it was going to be a patch over, they were blown away. Some of them were kind of nervous because they knew that these fans take this shit serious. So when they when it was finalized that it was going to be a patch over, not dropping the name, but one of the main actors, he came up to me, he was like, holy shit. He said, this is either going to, this is either going to bring us, we're going to go down in history, or we're going to gain a bunch of enemies by portraying this patch over on TV, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because those guys, they still have a personal life and have to be out there, you know, signing autographs and conventions and stuff like that. And, but the patch over, you know, because of how the seriousness that it has in real life in these clubs, I was surprised that the response from the patch over was really so positive. I really thought 90% of this patch over response was going to be so, so negative and bad. From the response you know, people in clubs, in actual real-life clubs, I thought they were just going to go berserk, but people were very accepting of it, so.
Not a lot of people, like, because, I mean, the fan base with SOA is, you got bikers and you've got non-bikers, and the non-bikers are trying to make heads or tails out of what is reality and what isn't, so I'm sure there was a lot of confusement with that too, you know, and where you said the real bikers on the show, you know, with their feelings about it too, and just having the general public of half understand it to some degree and half just totally do not, that's, you know, understandable with, you know, wondering how exactly it was going to go down. And, I mean, if you're saying that there was all positive feedback on that, then that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was blown away that they decided to actually do the Passover, you know, because it was just something.
You weren't the only one. A lot of us were really surprised when that happened. The next day at Bill's shop, there had to be 40 people deep asking questions and bringing that up.
Yeah. Yep.
Before hello, it was, you know, I usually roll over there about 3:15 after work, and I got nailed at the door, and Bill got nailed, and for the next hour and a half, we were just telling these guys, hey, you're just as much as surprised about it as I am. You know, but I'm happy.
Yep.
I mean, Goldie, you and I know we've been on the fence for a long time. And when we go somewhere, when we were at the Easy Rider show this weekend, I saw 15 new patches I'd never seen before.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I mean,
it's like somebody throwing 52 cards in the air and everybody grabs one. And this is who I'm going to be from now on. It's crazy.
Yep. And I guess I just maybe assume, you know, those startup clubs are going to be a little fly by night, and then they'll just start to dissolve, you know, with the exit of this show and just the, you know, because they used it as a learning tool, you know. I mean, literally, they used it as a learning tool, you know, from learning what a prospect is to just all type of stuff, you know. And all motorcycle clubs started from somewhere. You know, but prior to Sons of Anarchy, it was rare that they started from a TV show. More likely started from watching another real-life club, you know. I respect, I mean, Kurt Sutter provided so much money to Southern Californians. So much work. You know, one of the guys, when we did the shootout, when we shot up the house when I was on my white Dyna, when we shot that house up, that dude, I don't even know I'm supposed to say this. Well, let's just say in the amount roundabout, that dude got around $4,500 for using his bucking ass beat up house, you know, for one day.
Right.
And just so many people that, you know, had the opportunity to come through and just, you know, make some good money on the show. You know, for me, I was blessed and honored that they allowed me to use my personal bikes on the show. So, you know, because of me providing the bikes for all the Grim Bastards, and they were my personal bikes, you know, I was able to make, you know, some good money each day.
Right.
They could have, you know, even when we did that shootout scene on my motorcycles, they did not want me to use my bikes. They wanted to rent bikes. But the transportation coordinator, he, like, vouched, and he was like, you know, let me just see if Goldie, you know, would even consider using his bikes, you know. And then the stunt coordinator is Eric Norris, which is Chuck Norris. Remember Chuck Norris, the karate dude that fought Bruce Lee in real life?
Right.
Chuck Norris, you know, the karate guy back in the day, his son is Eric Norris, and he was the stunt coordinator. So, you know, he asked me, you know, are you sure you want to use your bikes? And I was like, first I was like, nah. But I said, if I say no to these people one time, I could just fuck up my opportunities, because it's easy for them to write people out. So
yeah.
I said, cool, man, no, let's give it a shot. And
I don't know if you remember Gina, my wife, she used to train with Aaron Norris. She was a stunt woman years ago.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell you guys a funny story on how I met Goldie. He was standing outside at the Easy Rider show, and I kind of looked, and I was like, I seen this one on the back of this guy's head, and I just wanted to take a picture of it. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and since then, we've been friends, and Goldie runs a tight ship with his crew, and you can tell just by the way they carry themselves, and they've earned my respect from day one.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you very much. And, you know, I take pride in my club, in the One Down brand, you know, how we represent ourselves, you know, and, you know, we don't claim no territories, you know, we know all the big clubs out there that matter, and we stay in our own lane. And, you know, being on your show, knowing that, you know, you have a big audience.
Well, I got news for you. You're on in 48 countries right now, and we got two guys in China listening to you.
Wow, okay.
They catch those, you know, two guys, you know what happens to them. They kill them.
Yeah. So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity, you know, and being able to be on your show and speak on stuff, and, you know, and, you know, I hope I was able to answer the questions, you know, and
I got some more people in here if you want to answer a few more questions. We've got about 27 people that want to, I think they all want to talk to you, and some might be listening. But we'll start with the first one. This should be, is this Nora from Chicago?
Yes, it is. Hi, how are you?
Hello, Nora, how are you? Did you have any questions for Goldie?
Okay. I came a half hour into the show, and I did not know you were having a guest. So, and I please be filled in real quick on who we have, and that way I can go from there.
This is... This happens to be Goldie DeWitt. He's the proud president of the One Down MC, and he's basically been on almost every season of the Suns as playing one of the Grim Bastards.
Okay. Now, which Now, I'm not trying to be rude. I have all 7 seasons on disc. But, now, what part did you play?
I was the Sergeant at Arms in The Grim Bastards. And that is the guys who wore the orange and black coming in from Lodi, California.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And,
So then you were in the bar. That was when Jax came in for, that was the Passover party, wasn't it? Or right before the Passover, right after? There was like a bar in Lodi. And then there was Pete coming in.
That was actually, that was at the Suns club.
That's what I'm sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, I was in there when I think that was the night they were setting up, getting ready to kill the Asian guy. So anytime you see the Grim Bastards, then you would see me standing next to Teal. Teal was the president of the Grim Bastards, played by Michael Beach.
Okay. So, now I can go from there. I'm sorry. Now, what season did you actually start in?
I came in on season 2.
Okay. And you were in the whole entire time.
Yeah, came in on season 2 when the vice president of the Grim Bastards was played by another guy named Marcel, and then he got stabbed in the back of the head at the table they found him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, how did you come about being asked to come into the show?
Originally, they were just looking for some urban bikes, and then it just quickly turned into them wanting to use the likeness of my real-life club. And me also then playing a Grim Bastard. And I forgot, though, but in the beginning, my motorcycle club, we would play Grim Bastards, and then I would provide a lot of the one-niners. The it's like a street game in the purple.
Okay.
So a lot of my club brothers in my real-life club would play those guys also. And then once they played a niner, then they couldn't come play a Grim Bastard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So did you enjoy all the seasons that you were in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Working with the cast, was just real cool. All those guys were super, just good people, outside of just the show. I mean, I've been to events, where we just kind of hung out and chilled and grabbed something to eat and partied. And I also liked seeing the relationship that they had, They really did bond, and they really did have a good relationship, Them dudes, hugged and kissed even when they weren't filming. Not gay kiss, but just, they had fun.
No, I get that. Now, you're in a club yourself, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're in what state?
California.
Okay. Okay. And so are you, when you and your club brothers came in to coming into the show, were they all able to stay in with the seasons like you did, or did some only come in for a short time versus maybe a little bit longer?
I had the longest run. My other club brothers, they didn't ask for the same guys each time, so I made it a point to rotate my club brothers to just give them all the opportunity of being on the show. And, I can't say making some money because,
You kind of did what Emilio did. He brought in, he gave everybody a shot.
Yeah. You know, because the exposure and the fun that you got from that show lasts way longer than the little money that was paid. So even them, they didn't really do it for the money. It was for the opportunity and the exposure, you know. So I rotated my guys, just giving them all a chance. And my club is multicultural. We got white, black, Mexican. So it was kind of sad when some of my guys who were white, they couldn't be a grim bastard, but they, you know, wanted to be on the show.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, I rotated them out.
Nice. Now,
Nora, let me get to another caller. We got a ton of people here.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
909-670, did you want to talk to Goldie or did you want to just listen?
Yeah, I do. I know him not very well, but I wanted to commend him on his he's a very much nice.
Excuse me, can we get your name,
fighter.
Please?
Jackie.
Okay, Jackie. Jackie, and, this is Goldie. Goldie, this is...
Hi, Goldie.
Hey, how you doing, Jackie?
And I want to commend you with much love and respect. But I never knew that you were what they call those? A person that is like a celebrity. I thought she was just a biker. But you did a well job. The Grim Bastard, the last one was great. So I want to commend you for all the things that you do for people and your club. Everything is just wonderful. And I'm just glad to know that I know you. And I'm going to pray for much love for you and your club and everybody surrounding you.
Well, thank you very much, Jackie, and I appreciate it. And you've always been, you know, a good soul. And all the sweet potato pies you've made for my club over the years has always been appreciated. And my club, you know, if they were all standing right here, they'd all say thank you, too.
You're welcome. And you have a wonderful night, and I hope the show comes back again because it's great.
That's right. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
718, did you want to speak to Goldie or did you want to hold on?
I'll speak.
Go for it. And your name is?
Lynx Garcia.
Hello, Lynx. How are
up,
you?
Lynx? What's up, Goldie? I'm all the way in New York, and I've been friends with Goldie and started online, and I just want to tell you, Goldie, the way you carry yourself in real life, I wish everyone could see that, because you truly love your people, and you really represent it in a major way, and you try to include everyone in your club, and you also educate people who got confused because of the show. They thought that all motorcycle clubs were out. Cycle clubs, and you put out a YouTube explaining that you're not all outlaws, and I think that was really important, and I appreciate that you did that, because I know a lot of brothers that are motorcycle clubs out here in other states that, you know, are doing positive things for their club like you are, so I wanted to thank you for that, and it was fun watching you. I had something to look forward to. And I didn't know much about the motorcycle set until I met you, and I followed the show because of you, actually. So I want to thank you and salute you. I love you very much. It was a great ride, and much respect. Salute all the way from the East Coast. Fluffy love. And thank you to thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Lady. Thank you very much.
We have got someone from San Diego.
619.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello. Yes.
Hi, someone. This is 75. 75, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm just going to ask a question probably somebody want to ask, but what do you think the biggest impact of you being on the show and bringing it to the real motorcycles that has been?
Hold on one second, Goldie. Is that you, Sumo?
Say again?
Is that you, Sumo?
No, this is
okay,
not
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You sound like someone I know. Go ahead.
I don't know if I completely understand the question, but
since being on the show and being a real motorcyclist, what do you think the biggest thing you brought from the show back to the motorcycle set?
Well, you know, I want to, you know, let it be known that I'm not the only person on that show who was in the motorcycle club. You know, there are, you know, some cats that played members of SOA that are also, you know, in a very popular motorcycle club. But as far as me, you know, what I did is the fact that because, you know, I'm black, my club is multicultural, they featured a black club on the show. It really did open up the audience to Sons of Anarchy, and the show picked up, you know, a black audience, you know, because there were people in the beginning saying, man, I'm watching that stuff, it's about some bikers. When they heard,
I just want everybody know. Excuse me one second. I just want everybody know I muted him because he had a lot of reverb in the background. I'll bring him back on in a minute.
Oh, okay. And once they heard, you know, that I was on it, it gave, you know, people a reason to watch it. And then once they started watching it, they saw just how intertwined, you know, the motorcycle community is with clubs. You know, some people never even knew that there were black motorcycle clubs, you know?
Right.
And that show, it put stuff out there, you know? So I'm honored to be part of that element of a historic show that featured, you know, a black motorcycle club. And at the end of the show, their relationship was so positive and so good that they embraced that black motorcycle club and unified with them.
Right.
Something that was never done before as far as even seen on TV, you know. So, you know, what that brought back to the motorcycle culture in real life is some people saying, oh, okay, I guess that can be done. You know, just showing where we at today. It's 2015, you know. It's not 1946 no more, 1962, you know?
Right. Let me see if...
All right, thank you for answering that question, and I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate the leadership, and we'll see you soon.
Right on. 75. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, good night. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
310-334. Do you have a question for Goldie, or did you want to just listen?
That was 20 years ago that it started or finished.
Oh, I did. I'm doing fine. But I want to thank you.
Okay, someone's still listening to the show. We got another 310-706. Did you want to talk or did you want to listen? 310-706. Okay, probably just wants to listen. There we go. 562, did you have any questions for Goldie? Hello, 562. Hello. Okay, well, I guess we've answered everybody's questions, Goldie.
Right.
People, me check this one. Hold on, we got a 949.
Yes.
Hello, 949. Do you want to talk to Golda or do you just want to listen?
Just listening, man. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. It's so good to see these things opening doors for everybody. But I tell you, though, man, these days, every day we've got at Bill's shop, guys come in and want to ask, how do we start this? We even had a couple of cops from Oceanside Police Department come and ask, how can they start a club? And basically we told them, we don't know. You do what you're going to do anyway. Now those five guys are in the Iron Order.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And it's unbelievable because the one guy that writes all the tickets and fucks with all the bikes about the helmets, the pipes, turn signals, all that shit, that prick's riding a chopper with no turn signals, a beanie helmet with straight pipes, but he'll give you a ticket for the same thing.
Yeah, you know. That
it's
happens.
Unbelievable.
And,
that's why the court system legalized extortion.
Yeah. And, you know, I had to learn, you know, especially with this lifestyle, that, you know, I have to be very careful on what I say and what comes out of my mouth because, you know, everybody's listening, and even when I'm not on this show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes how I really feel about something, I just got to keep it to myself, you know, because in this world, like I tell people, you know, you can't undo a fuck-up.
Yeah.
So, and that's part of, you know, why, you know, there is, you know, something that people see that's successful about one down. I don't like putting me or my club in any situation of having to apologize for something. So I just keep us in a situation or a position where, you know, if it can't be all good, I just don't want to fuck with it.
You know? There you go. It's like when I first met Bill almost, well, a little over 30 years ago, and I started hanging around with Bill and going to events, and I was told, you know, I had to, this is what Bill told me. You know, I had to answer for you. And I said, what do you mean? What did I do? He said, well, just the way you were standing, somebody got offended at the way you were standing. And you've seen me at events, and I'm the quiet guy in the back of the room. Some people say that's the guy you got to worry about. But to this point, when Bill said that to me, now a lot of times, if I see someone I know, I'll approach him. But I don't just walk up to anybody and introduce myself anymore because I got told one time I said the wrong thing. And the only reason I didn't get... I didn't get jacked up was because Bill stood up for me.
That's right. And it's good to have people in your corner in this lifestyle that we live, you know. And that's one thing people got to understand, and that's what I tell my people, you know. It's called body language for a reason. Because, you know, it's a way of speaking on something. It's a language that's spoken without even having to talk. You know, people are going to read your body language. You know, people may just get offended on, like you said, how you standing. You know, what does this dude think he's representing? What is he trying to say? But
I had a situation one time with one of the heavy hitter clubs, and I was dressed in the opposite club's attire, and I was standing in a circle of about 200 of them, and I was with Bill told me, hey, we'll be right back. Stay right here. And for the next hour and a half, all I heard was, this fucking guy's going to stand right here dressed like that? And some of the guys said, you heard what they told him. And that's when I got pegged, and this is funny, but that's when I got pegged with the little guy with big balls.
Well, you know, God bless him. It's something that you still here and able to talk about. There's some people who, you know, found themselves in a little jam, and it didn't work out to their advantage, and it didn't work out for the best. And this was a person who really wasn't a threat, you know.
Right.
But you know, it's a lifestyle, man. That you know, you better do a whole lot of listening and less talking. Because you don't want to accidentally say the wrong thing. And like I tell the guys, if you don't want somebody to put something in your mouth, keep your mouth shut. You know, because people want you to say something to trip you up a little bit.
Yeah, mine and Bill's favorite two words are shut up.
Yeah. Yep.
Mhm.
But
it's like that day I saw you on the freeway. You didn't know who that was at first. And until I told you today who it was. But everybody just riding a certain way or following behind somebody a certain way can get you fucked up.
Yeah. Everything in this lifestyle means something. Everything we do, everything we represent, you know, but truly it's to make our operations smoother. You know, people need to understand, you know, when a woman wears property of, it's just simply saying she's spoken for. That's it. It just means she's spoken for. We want to lessen any type of troubles of somebody else hitting on somebody else's woman. So we're just saying, hey, that's a woman who's spoken for, you know. And, you know, from wearing the same patch just means, hey, we're in the same organization, you know.
That's correct.
But, you know, the lifestyle is something, it's a beautiful thing. It gives plenty of people, you know, a brotherhood. Something to share, a likeness, you know, of loving motorcycles, a togetherness. And unfortunately, you know, just like in any atmosphere, it just takes one person to kind of fuck shit up, you know?
Yeah.
And we can do good every day, but just one
person. Well, you know, it's like Sonny Barger said it best. Nobody remembers when we do good. They only remember when we do bad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a statement that, you know, hell will never get old. You know, that's a timeless statement. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't even want to brand this with me saying it. You know, but you know, there's a lot of, you know, veterans out there who, you know, and in their own way, you know, of course they want to see peaceful days. A lot of veterans of old school, they want to see peaceful days, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, ain't nobody waking up the next day saying, you know, I want to do something bad. Nobody.
You know, Goldie, there's 2.4 million registered motorcycles in California.
Mm-hmm.
2.4 million. If I could get 100,000 of those guys just one day go out and get a ticket, I'd shut down the court system for 6 months. But you and I both know how hard it is to get everybody under one page.
Yeah.
Politics will kill it every time.
I want to say, man, you know, this was fun, and you know, I'm glad and I'm honored that, you know, you saw something in me of something valuable to be on your show, and you know, I want to say thank you, and you know, thank you to the people that called in, and you know, it was fun, man.
You're welcome anytime, my brother.
Okay. And, you know, just keep doing this show, man. And, you know, obviously, you know,
This is our sixth year. This is my third show. And you were my special guest today. And that's why I asked you over the weekend if you would be able to do this. The other thing I want you to do, though, is I'll promote your stuff on the daily blog. That blog, since the first of this year, is already over 2 million hits.
So,
you give me if you want to plug your shop right now and give me a workable link to get to your shop, I'll put it in the friends column right under Rusty's and in between Sweetwater and all the other dealers that are on there, and you'll start getting some calls your way.
Okay, well, man, thank you. I'll inbox you, you know, the link to my motorcycle shop, and I own a motorcycle shop right here in California in the Inland Empire. And the motorcycle shop is called One Down Biker Supply House. And, you know, we specialize. specialize in Harley Davidsons in my shop. It's as big as a Harley shop. It's really nice, and we service all type of bikes, but of course specialized in Harleys, and we do everything there, you know.
Just to quote something I read somewhere, but I think Goldie's now the Dyna King of California.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, I'm gonna stand up, and I made my own crown for that. When it comes to the Dyna motorcycles, you know, that's my bike of choice from Harley Davidson, and you know, all the bikes that were pretty much featured on Sons of Anarchy that had some color to them, orange, white, blue, whatever. Those are all my personal bikes. Those are my Dynas, and you know, I like the big motors. I got the 120s in them and the 135s, and you know, that's a bike that I found myself really, really, really enjoying. That's my favorite bike. So
me too. I've everybody, you know, my passion is I'm going to build here a road glide here pretty soon. But
yeah.
I was one of the first ones to get that all blacked out Dyna in my neck of the wood, and everybody jumped on it after that. And I still
that's
got
right.
people going, hey, man, why don't you put that little fairing on and T-bars and all. I'm old school. It functions. It works for me the way it works, and that's the way it's going to stay.
Yes. And, you know, as far as the motorcycle shop, you know, industry, you know, I've got love for all motorcycle shops out there. You know, we're just the shop that if it's convenient and local for you, come on through. You know, we send many of people to local shops around us if there's something we can't provide for them, you know. Sweetwater Harley-Davidson, you know, has been, you know, incredible, you know. And up the street from us is Quaid Harley-Davidson. So, you know, I'm into building working relationships, man. You know, ain't no competition about nothing in me, you know. So, you know, I just want to be positive, and I like seeing people happy, and if there's something that I can do to make people smile, then that's rewarding enough for me, you know. But, yeah, so if anybody got any type of bikes that, you know, we can service them, you know, we'd be happy to. The website to my shop is onedownbikersupplyhouse.com, and, yeah, I'll send you a link, and, you know, and I want to say thank you in advance, you know, if you're going to post that link and show us love, and, you know.
But yeah, you know, Rusty, when I put Rusty and T-Rod when they were when they first started out Illusion and I put them up, they were getting 200 to 300 calls a week, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, met both of those guys, and you know, showed nothing but love, you know, to me and to my club, and you know, and that's what it's about, man. Just you know, showing love and paying respect forward.
That's it. And I want to thank you again, and hope you come back. And if you got anything going on that you guys are going to do for publicity-wise, send me a flyer, and I'll post a flyer for you. Because basically every poster I put up for Bill's shop, we have anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 people per event.
Okay. Oh, you know what? In closing, because I have to go also, but I must mention whoever's listening out there, and if there's anything you can do when you see anything hit the internet in regards to Save the Patch, I want to say that that's something that's very serious, and look into
it.
You can Google it. It's called Save the Patch, and a lot of attention and support needs to go to that. So it's Save the Patch, and it's related to the motorcycle community, motorcycle clubs. It's the rights of bikers, and I mean, it could be something that has a detrimental impact on all organizations.
I'm glad you brought that up. But the thing that's going on in Australia right now is this: me, you, and Bill were standing like we were Saturday. If we were standing the way we were standing Saturday, if we were in Australia, we'd both get all three of us would get locked up, and they wouldn't have to tell anybody where we're at. Now, Canada's starting to follow along that lines, and whatever happens in Australia goes to Canada and comes here, whether it's the East Coast or the West first or the Midwest. Whatever happens in this world to a motorcycle club is coming to your front door if you're in the motorcycle, period.
know, the smoothest way I can say it, where I'm not shaking the tree of any clubs, is this is a situation where, regardless of skin color, club differences, all clubs and people need to come together to, you know, help save the patch. Because
that's correct.
It just simply affects all of us, you know. And I'm talking, we need the support from not just motorcycle clubs and riders, but people who like motorcycle clubs, people who ride motorcycles, people who, you know, go to motorcycle club functions. You know, everybody needs to really get involved with this. So, you know, I'm asking everybody who's listening, you know, when this is over, just stay right in front of your computer or your cell phone and type in Save the Patch and just start reading up on it. And, you know, you'll see for yourself that, you know, it needs your support.
And if you want anybody, also if anybody that's listening, if you don't have the time to do what Goldie said, you can go back to the archives, listen to the show to get all the information and websites and stuff that we told you about. And the archives are free. You can download it at any time. You can download them and save them. Everything on this website, as well as my blog, is for everybody in the country, in the motorcycle culture, as well as out of the outside world, as we call it. But everybody, you're all welcome to go and check everything out. And if you go to the website for the radio station, it's Bikers of America, the Phil Bill Show at blogtalkradio.com. And you can download or archive. You can see when the upcoming shows are, whatever. If you want to sign in and be a follower, then you'll be notified the next time we're going to have this show and who the guest is going to be, like we did tonight. So, Goldie, I appreciate everything you've done. I'll give you a buzz over the rest of the week, sometime towards the end of the week, and I might roll out that way Saturday.
Okay. Sounds good, my man. Thank you very much, though. I appreciate it, man. And much love to all the listeners and the people that called in. And thank you very much for me and, you know, my entire motorcycle club, One Down MC.
All right, Goldie. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Goldie DeWitt from the One Down MC and Sons of Anarchy of Fame. I hope he answered everybody's questions. I tried to get all the people that had called in and said they either wanted to listen or ask questions, and some of the people didn't say anything at all, so I just assumed you wanted to listen. But right now, there's 287,000 people worldwide listening to this show. I didn't want to tell them that because I didn't want them to get nervous, but we'll find out that when he goes to listen to the archive. other than that, I don't know what else to say. This was a set-off to the sixth season of this show, and I'm sorry Bill wasn't here, but he'll be here next week. But tomorrow night we should be on probably for about a half hour, 45 minutes. And then Thursday will be the regular show. And other than that, I don't know what else to say to everybody, but hello, Art, are you still there?
I am. Here I am.
I hope all you got educated by listening, and you know pretty much what we're talking about when we say save the patch and things like that. And other than that, I don't know what else to say. I was gonna try and keep this going until about 8 o'clock, but it's about 7:18 on West Coast time, and 10:18 the East Coast time. Midwest is probably 9:18. But thank you, Art, for showing up for the first for. This is, I know I've invited you before, but I'm glad you stopped in tonight. I hope we entertained everybody and answered their questions.
Very good. All right, Phil. Good chatting, good listening. Actually, what I did was I put you on speakerphone, because as I told you, my phone wasn't getting...
Right.
So I had you on speakerphone while I was on the computer. Very good. Good show, good listening. It's nice to have all the different views from the readers and the listeners, customers, and writers,
and I'm not kidding when I
questions.
Yeah, and I'm not kidding when I say I got two guys in China to listen to the show. If they catch them, they'll kill them.
Yeah, the Chinese, I understand, just closed off their country to the internet pretty much. No more Yahoo Mail, and I'm not sure what else they cut off, but. Very good. Okay, Phil. Thanks. Good seeing you at Easy Riders, and we'll see you again somewhere soon.
Okay, Art. Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Stacy.
Yeah?
What do you think about tonight's show? Give me that critique from left field.
The critique from left field, I thought it was a very good show. It touched base on a lot of realities and a lot of non-realities, a lot of topics that are head-on with clubs, like the Save the Patch, which is extremely important. And as always, we touch base with, you know, with the hell that's going on in Australia, trickling over to Canada, and of course, you know, it'll move along this way if we continue to let it. But the best people can do is to listen to the show, educate themselves, read the blog, go on the group fan page, ask questions, et cetera. You know, I think tonight was a good show, and we should have him back again soon because he was quite awesome.
That's it. Let me get let me have your take on the from the Midwest perspective there, Shorty.
He sounds like a great man. The only thing is, like I said, I came into it late, so I had no idea you were having someone from the show on there.
Thank God it wasn't Rusty, because I would have been, like, passed out on the floor, or, you know, I wouldn't have got home on time, or something stupid.
But, no, like I said, I had no idea, and I'm just, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, because I was under the hood of the car, and I'm like, oh, crap, I got to call in. And so then I call in, I'm like, who is this on the show? Because you're on the show, you know? And then you're talking about the show, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, I have no idea who this is. I don't know.
Hey, Phil,
like,
you got to make me a promise. You got to get Rusty back on the show, but here's the thing. You can't tell me he's coming. No way, nothing that happens to me. Honest to God.
Don't even.
Like,
say his name when he gets on the radio. Just say, hey, what's up?
Because, like, every time has been a major malfunction for me, whether I've been sick or God only knows, or I get, like, stage fright and I can't open my mouth because I'm like, oh, my God, it's him. But just don't tell me. But, like, get him back on the show and, you know, maybe I'll actually get to say hello.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a couple of things, Rusty's got a lot of shit going on right now, but the last time I talked to him, he said I got to keep checking with him about his schedule, and I've been doing that, and hopefully sometime next week or the following week, I'll see him on the 29th of this month. Atka 7 is going to be taking over the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, and
nice.
We're going to have... We're gonna have a meet at Rusty's shop at 3:00, and we're gonna pack ride all the way up to Sunset Boulevard. And the last time I was there, when something like this happened, there was bikes on both sides of the street for as far as you could see.
Nice.
It was like listening to rolling thunder.
I'll trade some of this snow, ice, and cold, and I'll like go watch the bikes.
No problem, but for $10, you're gonna get a good night entertainment, and it's the release party for their new album.
That's awesome.
And
yeah.
I was told that some of the cast of the Sons of Anarchy will be there. So best bet is to go on Ticketron or Ticketmaster. Look up Atka 7 at the Whiskey. Tickets are $10.
Damn, that's a deal.
The last well, time
hurry
we last...
up and fly your ass out there, Stacey, then you can see him face to face. Well, actually,
last...
stomach to face.
Back that place. So, other than that, I don't know what to say, but it's 7:24 by my time on the wall here, and I think I'm going to take us out for tonight. That we had Goldie DeWitt from One Don MC. Sons of Anarchy fame, and we talked about all kinds of things tonight. Everything was good. I'll let you guys know again that Bill will be here next week, but I figured I'll let Charlie Baker take us out with a little ride. If you've never heard this song, you can check it out at bakersongs.com, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Nice. Good night.